world, if you don't know what a special, incredible, amazing woman of God you have in Teresa, then I don't know. I'm sure you've seen it and will continue to experience it. Teresa and Chris are absolute heroes in the faith to my Chris and I. See, we both have Chris's. We have a lot in common. But I admire and respect Teresa so very much. She really is a hero in the faith to me personally. So I'm very delighted that you awesome women get to have her as your fearless leader. And then, of course, what a treat to be able to meet all the awesome, wonderful South Africans. They all begin with M, except for Anya. So I'm just really, really encouraged. Actually, one of my impossible prayers this year is to meet a fellow South African in Phoenix that we can practice Afrikaans with, because, you can lose it if you don't use it. That is true with a lot of things. Anyway, I'm just delighted to be here in Chicago. Thank you so much for the invitation. Chris had a phenomenal time with the men yesterday, and I'm so grateful that my kids are here too. Although I don't exactly know where my daughter is right now, but we won't hold the 10-year-old to the mat too tightly. Not yet. Anyway, girls, we love to be together. Women understand each other. Are you feeling me right here? Women understand several things. We understand how crying can be fun. Okay? We understand how cream, ivory, and off-white are very different. Hello? Right? We understand the inaccuracy in every bathroom scale ever made. We understand how a salad, a diet drink, and a chocolate sundae are a very balanced diet. Very balanced meal. Okay? We understand how finding a designer dress for a few dollars is a thrilling experience. Okay? Yes. We understand going to the bathroom in groups. Right? We understand these things. We understand chick flicks. Right? Yes. And we understand why it is very important to have at least 5 pairs of black shoes. Very important, right? Are you with me? Are you feeling me right here? So we understand each other, and that's why it's a really special time for us to come together here as women to really be able to connect heart to heart. And as Teresa laid it out so eloquently and heartfeltly in her communion, that really, if we're not following God, all of this is for naught. The crux, the foundation, the reason we are is to know God, to love God, to serve God, to give God all the glory. So I want you guys to turn your Bibles to your theme scripture here, which is awesome, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. And I appreciate Maria sharing that with Jen, who is our newest sister in the faith, and how exciting and awesome that is. All of us who understand God's plan understand the value of a true baptism, the value of somebody believing, repenting, making the changes on a heartfelt level to put Jesus as Lord of their lives. And those do not come lightly, and those are not easy to make. But the old has gone and the new has come. What a great, great topic to be talking about here in the new year. Did I do something wrong? Hands up, no. In the new year, the new month, the new decade, right? 2010. This is a big year, especially for South Africa. They have the big World Cup. 2010, they've been planning this for years, right? So the old has gone and the new has come in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. The Bible reads, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." You know, woman today, where are you at with the old being gone, keeping it gone, and the new having arrived, and keeping it new, right? There are a lot of things about getting rid of old that is just refreshing. Can you feel me here? It starts with spring cleaning, right? Getting rid of that old dusty layer that's been sitting on the mantle for a while. Or, getting rid of old clothes, cleaning out your closet, cleaning out your kid's closet. Very, you know, decluttering the room of a teenager can be very refreshing. washing your car. Okay, getting that new car spritz in your car, right? Have any of you ever done that? There's a lot about the old, you know, getting rid of the old and bringing in the new that brings refreshment, that brings excitement, that brings a good feeling, right? That brings a lot of positive things that can come to be. Now, it doesn't mean it has to be expensive to be new to you, okay? Have you ever heard the saying that one lady's trash is another one's treasure, right? So, hey, something that's old to you, you might hand it down, and it might be treasure to the next person. See, I was telling Bob that I had two sisters, one on each side, too. And so there were times in my life as a teen that I just loved the hand-me-downs, and there were times that I was like, what am I? You know, I need something new. What is this? You know, no more hand-me-downs for me. So I can feel Carmen's pain. And especially the younger one. Anyway, but what does God say about all this? And this really is a question. You know, who were you in 2009? How much of that old that did you continue to collect rather than continue to get rid of? Okay? Because that's always a temptation, right? God created everything to get old. Sad but true, okay? That's the bad news. The good news is that everything getting old, beginning with our bodies, okay? Those of you who can feel my pain have seen the little gray hairs start to sprout, okay? And one thing you'll notice about gray hairs, and you guys who are at campus, young singles, teens, you have no idea about this yet, but you will learn they are very ornery, and they tend to stick up, and they're wild and wiry, okay? You have to use the extra super hole to keep them down. But along with that comes a deterioration of our bodies, right? Gravity sets in, and everything seems to point downwards. You know what I'm saying? It sags. It's an amazing reality of how that happens. And that's where we get the push-up, you know what? So, anyway, but, you know, that is the way God created everything to get old. Even the most perfect wedding dress. Think about the perfect bride in a white gown coming down. By the end of that night, it's got a few, you know, muddy spots on it, or it's, you know, something somebody might have trod on it and gotten torn. I mean, eventually everything deteriorates. God's plan in this is that we will reach a different level of humility, just like Teresa talked about. Humility, guys, is no way to find God without being humble. Humble to be willing to accept that your way is not the right way. Willing to be accept that the things you might have learned and practiced, even from people that you've respected, might not be God's plan. How are you doing in this area? How humble were you in 2009? Were people commending you on your humility? Or was there constant challenge on how prideful and arrogant and stubborn you might have been? It's a scary place to be, trust me. You know, there are only three things in this world that will last forever. God, His Word, and the souls of men and women. And the whole Bible points around us seeking out God, His Word, and the souls of men and women. And I'm talking to the disciples in the room here, those women who have committed their lives to seeking God, heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. How have you done this in the last year, 2009, with really seeking out God wholeheartedly, with loving His Word as though it were your very oxygen, and with loving the souls of men and women around you? It's a good time to stop and take some inventory in order to reflect on what we've done badly and change, and to be encouraged by perhaps the victories we have had, right? We've got to invest in these three things, sisters. We've got to create in us a love for God that'll compel us to get rid of the old and invite in the new. Are you with me right here? Yeah. You know, God created us. Let's be turning to Psalm 139. Our God is an awesome God. And if you have not begun to experience what that means, perhaps this is your first time here. I know I met Chloe today. And where's Chloe sitting? There she is. And it's her first time visiting us. What a great, great thing. And my encouragement to you, Chloe, and to those who are first-time visitors, keep coming back, okay? This is only the beginning. Maybe you've been coming for a while and you've been studying the Bible, much like Jen, and you are seeking God wholeheartedly. Guess what? Keep coming back and doing just that. Perhaps you're a new Christian. You know, it's been awesome to talk to several of you who have recently been baptized. Awesome. Keep fighting that fight one day at a time. And perhaps you've been around for a long time, and you've seen and done that over and over and over. You know what, women? Still, we need to get gone with the old and embrace the new. It's a challenge for every one of us, regardless how old you are physically and how long you've been united with Christ spiritually. The old has got to go in order for the new to keep coming. Are you with me right here? In Psalm 139, God says of us, "For you, woman, Psalm 139, verse 13. For you created my inmost being." This is God, okay? Somebody talking to God. "You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." There's another scripture that talks about God knowing how many hairs are on our very head. That blows me away. I mean, have you ever looked at your brush when you've, you know, stroked that hair a few times? There's a lot in there, right? And the Bible says that God knows exactly the number of hairs that are on your head at any given time. The Lord knows you, okay, and the Lord knows me. That needs to give us great comfort, great security that we can trust God. He is our protector. He is our refuge. He is our rock. We've got to let Him be. You know, God created us with needs, like Teresa said. We've all got needs. And if you don't think you have needs, like Teresa said, you're in sin. You're too frightful to think you need anything. Or you just need help to get in touch with the fact that you do have needs. But think about it. We have the need for food, right? God created us to need food to sustain life. And we had some great food today. Thank you for all those chili, and especially the vegetarian chili cook at Denise over here. Because I didn't eat red meat. I was like, thank you, Lord. I was really hungry. It was awesome. Okay, so we have the need for food. We have the need for shelter and clothing, right? Those are genuine needs, right? God gave the fig tree to Adam and fig leaves to Adam and Eve, and there they were, right? God created a need for us for love and affection. Those are genuine needs that we as women have. Guess what? God wants to meet all of our needs. He is our hero. He is our knight in shining armor. If only we will allow Him to be, right? God created, the Bible says, and write this down, Psalm 46, verse 10, that He wants to meet our every need. He is the God of the universe. Hello? If God created the galaxies that we, even today, are not even in tune with, how much more can He clothe you? Can He feed you? Can He provide you with love and affection and fulfillment? Our God can do this. The question is not whether He can. The question is, will you let Him? You know what the problem is? The problem is that we step in and our needs that God created, we turn into our greed. And that food that God said, enjoy, He gave us boundaries within the boundary of hunger and fullness. Right? But what do? We gorge. We fall into gluttony. We choose to be gluttonous, okay? We don't eat. That's the other end of the spectrum, right? We starve ourselves because we're so consumed with being fat or with ourselves, right? And every little wrinkle we see. we step out of those boundaries, and so we abuse the very need and the very way God wants to fulfill us. We do the same with food and with shelter and with clothing. The boundary there is within your budget. Guess what? Don't live outside of your means. Live below your means. No, you don't need a 5-bedroom house. What do you make? This is what God has given us. Now, what can we afford, right? I was talking to one of the sisters who used to work at Wet Seal. Where is she? I forgot her name now. There she is. And she was telling me how she had to quit Wet Seal because she couldn't stop buying all these good deals, okay? There's some good deals there. But really, an overindulgence is stepping outside of the boundaries of God, what God has given us, right? And it's becoming our greed. The same with love and affection. What do we do with our friendships? We get attitudes. We're hateful. We're jealous. We're competitive. We're immoral. We're impure. We're adulterous. And so the need that God wants to fulfill becomes our greed and really becomes what separates us from God. And it becomes that old that we get stuck in. Very sad place to be, you know. Growing up in South Africa, I was so grateful. I come from an awesome family, very loving parents. But sad to say, before long, as I got into those teen years, I really did begin to abuse, just like I explained to you. The needs that God gave me for Him to fulfill, I quickly turned into my own selfish ambition, my own way. My way or the highway is how I began to think very quickly. I didn't want to be controlled by anyone. I wanted to do it how I wanted to do it, when I want to do it, and don't tell me otherwise. Sadly, was my attitude when I left South Africa at 18, and I wanted to travel the world, and I know some of these girls have the same feelings here. And I left, and I went to London, and I saw a lot of things, you know, and I had a lot of fun and did a lot of very exciting, fun, interesting, crazy at times things. You know, I was a waitress plenty of times. I drove forklifts when I lived in Israel on a kibbutz. I milked cows. That was a thrilling experience at 4 a.m. I picked strawberries with a bunch of South Africans in Cornwall. Yes, you never have loved strawberries as much as when you pick them for 40 days in a row. And, you know, all that was great and exciting. But, you know, by age 23, when I lived in Los Angeles, California, at age 23, I weighed almost just over 100 pounds. I was obsessed with self, and I was in the modeling industry at that time, and it was all about me. I was living in Beverly Hills, California, driving the Range Rover down Rodeo Drive, being jealous of people that were going somewhere because they were going somewhere, and my life had become so meaningless. I would wake up wishing that it was time to go to bed, really depressed for the first time in my life as my sin had accumulated, my sin of abusing food. You know, I was too prideful to eat too much. I would starve myself. You know, live off carrot sticks and celery. And then when you begin to eat again, my body would throw up. I was borderline bulimic for a long time. You know, I had abused the whole, you know, living in Beverly Hills. I couldn't afford to live in Beverly Hills. I was living off a man, to my shame, who was old enough to be my father in an immoral relationship. That's how empty I was at age 23. You know, in the modeling industry that I started when I was 21 in Miami, I compromised to the point of taking off my top to spite my boyfriend just because I could and I would show him. That's the level that of emptiness, of spite, of purposelessness that really was in my life even at a young age of 23. God took me to L.A., you know, right when I got to Miami. Before that, The hurricane hit Miami. And there's one thing we don't have in South Africa, and that's natural disasters, okay? So I was like, oh my word, what's going to happen? You know, and we were evacuated. And I mean, by the end of that hurricane, it was shocking. There were boats like on the pier. I mean, on the pier. You know, it was a shocking experience. But all the while, I was like, oh, well, God, you know, I love him, so it's okay if we're having sex, you know? Then I moved to L.A. in 1994, and lo and behold, that very month that I moved to L.A., the earthquake hit. Yes! The earthquake of 1994, and those of you who were around know that it was a big deal. I mean, the 10 freeway came crashing down, okay? It was a big deal. And you know, that was a time when I got on my knees, like Teresa said, and I was like, God, I know that I need you, and I am ashamed of who I've become. And trust me, my heart was hard at that time. I didn't even begin to realize how far I'd really drifted. Because see, through all this, oh, of course I was a Christian. I believed in Jesus. Hello? My mom's a Christian. How can I not be a Christian? After all, I'm not Muslim and I'm not, you know, anything else. So that puts me as a Christian. How deceived was I, really? Because on the outside, everything looked hunky-dory. And down in the heart, which is, by the way, what God looks at, this is who I was. Empty, distressed, very old, very crusty, and very, very sinful. You know, thank God for His church. Because in January, after I prayed that prayer, God led me. It was midnight, some night, on Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood at Tower Records that I never go to, that two disciples of Jesus invited me to come and learn about Jesus and come to church with them. And I had no clue what I was going to get into. Church, right? Because I grew up going to church. Sure, I'll come to church, right? I was in for a ride of my life, and I thank God for it. That was the beginning of me putting off the old and embracing the new. And my life changed radically. I handed back the Range Rover keys, and even though he said, oh no, you can take those with you, you'll be back. I was like, no, I won't. This is really it. Here they are. I moved out of Beverly Hills into a little apartment with some of the girls. I got my car that I bought out of the Penny Saver for $800 that I was so proud of. $800, and it had no color. It was gray primer. I loved it. It was awesome. 1979 Honda Civic. And it would go 500 miles on $10. It was from God, I tell you. But, you know, the Bible says that with repentance comes refreshment. With repentance comes renewal. With repentance comes hope, comes freedom from the slavery that our sin puts on us. The Bible says that there's always hope if we seek you with all, if we seek God with all of our heart. And that's what I began to embrace. And I was baptized on March 5th of 1994 by God's grace at a woman's day, much like this. So that was 16 years ago. And it's been a fiery journey ever since in a lot of ways. Exciting. I always say that the life of a Christian is way more exciting than Indiana Jones movies, okay? They don't have a handle on what we have as Christians. Let's be turning our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to see what God says about getting to that point of renewal. And then for those of you, like I said, who've been around, maybe you've been around for 5 years, 10 years, 15. Perhaps you're one of those 20, 25, 30-year-old Christians. But you've been fighting the good fight like Teresa over here. Well, let's see what God says to all of us here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Isn't that very clear, sisters? God doesn't say, when you get around to it, if it's convenient, when you feel like it, right? The big feeling thing, right? That is a lie from the world. We women do not live according to our feelings. We live according to the standard laid out for us in God's Word. The Bible says, put to death. If you put something to death, do you see it around anymore? No! It's gone! The Bible says, get rid of. Is that clear enough for you? Get rid of! Okay? How would you do if you left the trash for a week? Two weeks? A month? How about a year of trash left in your kitchen? How'd that be smelling? And yet, you know what? We do this with our sin. We don't get rid of it. We allow it to sit there. Oh, after all, you know, it's hard to have, you know, talk to somebody that's hurt my feelings. I mean, they should know they hurt my feelings. They should be coming to me. Hello? We're talking about me. Right? We let things fester. We don't settle matters quickly. We go to bed angry. Shame on you. The Bible says so clearly in Ephesians 4, do not sin in your anger. In your anger, do not let the sun go down. And I don't know about here in Chicago, but in Phoenix, that sun goes down every night. Right? That means you don't go to bed until you've resolved issues. Maybe for you women that has been around and seen the kingdom and seen all that has happened, even in the last 10 years, and you become bitter and resentful and flat angry. And why didn't my life turn out better? Maybe you think you should be married. And you're like, God, what's wrong with you? Guess what? You point your finger, there's three pointing back at you. Ever noticed that? We should take heed to those three pointing back at us and start sweeping that street, right? My side of the street, identify what is it in your heart that is making your heart old and crusty. Why are you cranky? Why are you not leading the way in zeal in your Bible talk? The Bible says in Romans 12, never, sisters, never be lacking in zeal. But keep your spiritual fervor serving who? Not self, but the Lord. Absolutely. How are you doing in your zeal? How's your purity? Are you giving in and watching shows and TV and movie that you should not be? Are you searing your conscience? Are you feeling justified to masturbate because God hasn't given me a man yet? What about you, married woman? Guess what? Getting married is not the solution to masturbation. You better embrace that sin and put it to death. To my shame, that was one of the biggest costs I had to count when becoming a Christian at 23. I was glad to get rid of the Range Rover, to tell you the truth. I was like, golly, I could never afford to put gas in this thing, let alone, you know, change the tires. But masturbation really was a sin that enslaved me for many years. And if you're fooled by Satan, thinking, well, I'm not hurting anybody, you are deceived. And you are on your way to the fiery pit. If you don't get open, get help, pray to God, fast and mourn, because it is a sin like others that'll take you to hell. It's a very serious issue, ladies. Take it seriously. There is no excuse to be stuck in the old. God expects us to be new. He wants to meet our needs. He wants to free us from all that ugly stuff that captivates us, that captures us, that is heavy, just like the chains, right, that Psalm 107 talks about. Don't allow Satan to put you into that position. You have the power of the living God, the Holy Spirit, that you received at baptism to overcome. You know, all through the book of Revelation to the seven churches, God preaches to her that overcomes. To you that overcomes will be this awesome promise. My challenge to you in 2010, that you are a woman who overcomes. That you are a woman who is humble to the discipling around you. And if, woman, you're here, like I said, for the first time, and you're like, what in the world is she talking about? Hello, she's crazy. Hang on, don't run yet. Talk to whoever brought you. Get into God's Word and begin to inhale it. Begin to seek God wholeheartedly, and He will open your mind and your heart more and more so to the truth of what He is telling you. It's an incredible ride, women. There is no compromise. The old has got to go, and it's got to keep going for the new to keep coming. You know, the greatest commandment, write this down, is Mark 12:29-31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second, what is it? To love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that so interesting? We all love ourselves. Hello, I see all of you looked in that mirror today. You're looking very pretty, right? All of you took out that toothbrush and shone those pearly whites today, right? And amen, so we should. But how much are we loving each other, right? How much are we caring for each other on a heart level? Like I said, Ephesians 4 is so clear in the kind of love we need to have for one another, the compassion we need to show towards one another. You know, in John 14:15, you can write that down, God says that to love me is to obey me. It's not just a warm, fuzzy little feeling, oh, I love the Lord. Guess what? Let's see your life and let's really let that speak for itself as to whether you really love the Lord or not. There is no VIP entrance into heaven. It doesn't matter what you've done and who your mama and papa are. Guess what? It'll be nobody's fault but yours if you don't make it into heaven, those pearly gates. Let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah 32. And it seemed like everybody was enjoying their food so much that squeezed out my 45 minutes to preach. So Teresa put me on the fast track here. But hey, that's good because God gives us all exactly what we need. Chapter 32, verse 17, the Bible says, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. That sounds pretty appealing, right? How are you doing in your peace? Can you really say when you put your pillow, when you put your head to the pillow every night, that your conscience is clear? That you have been the type of worker for the Lord that He calls you to be? That you are fighting the good fight? That you are running the race with all of your heart? That you have dealt with any conflict? You know, the Bible says that we need to have the same attitude as Jesus. For some of us, we put to death the immorality and the theft and the, you know, gross sins of our past a long time ago. We're dealing now with sins of the heart. And I'll tell you, sister, those are a lot harder to tackle than the obvious outward stop sleeping with your boyfriend. That has challenges of its own, right? But let me tell you, you've got to get into this the Word and go, God promises me peace. And the qualifying characteristic of that peace comes with a life that is righteous. You're living right with God. If that's not where you're at today, as a Christian or not, figure out why. Dig down deep. I appreciated Kip's charge that he gave in L.A. over the weekend, and again, Teresa's charge about fasting and praying. Fast. And you know what? I don't see any one of us in this room who couldn't afford to not eat for 24 hours. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to kill you. The food's not going to run away. Deny yourself. Pick up that cross and follow Jesus. We've got to get that peace and that quietness and that confidence in order to really shine like stars in this dark world. Without it, Satan is making a joke of you if you call yourself a Christian and this is not who you are. Turn your Bibles to Galatians 5. I love this book so much. it talks about those sins that first really knocked my socks off when I thought, but I'm a good person. How can I not be a disciple? As I see Jen was wrestling with too. But it also talks in Galatians 5 and verse 1, the Bible says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved women, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now look at verse 13 in that same chapter. Okay, I'm in Ephesians. That's why I'm like, what am I reading? Alrighty then. That was a good one too. Okay? In Galatians chapter 5. See, I'm already getting the time signal. It says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you, women, free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That yoke of slavery will take you back to the old. Look at what it says in verse 13. You, my sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will destroy one another. That's not what we want to be, girls, destroying each other. And really, Satan's no fool. When the church is coming together, as it is here in Chicago, and you guys are an inspiration to us in Phoenix, you are doing a great job. It's so encouraging to see the Latin ministry cranking for the Lord, to hear about the teens and the campus and the singles and the married. Satan works from within. He wants to infiltrate and divide and destroy. You know, my husband challenges us to do the attitude test, and it goes like this. If you look around the room and at any point your heart goes, that's exactly the direction you need to head. Rather than avoid the conflict, you need to talk to that sister. Because you know what? We are all human beings, and we are sinful, and we will hurt each other's feelings. Like Teresa said, a lot of the time it's unintentional. But you know, one assumption on another assumption equals a lot of disunity. So really deal with your attitudes. Deal with your heart. Do not allow the most excellent way that the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 13. Write that down. A lot of people are very familiar with the scripture. It describes what love is. The patience Teresa talked about, which I can totally identify with her. That's exactly what my prayer is this year as well. Help me to be patient. You know, the kind of sacrifice we need to have for one another. The Bible says love always trusts. How is your trust today? Are you going to allow Satan to re-imprison you with the sins that so easily entangles us? Or are you going to take a stand for the Lord and for the Lord and for His kingdom and for our ultimate goal of making it to those pearly gates? Are you going to be set free and made new one day at a time? And to God be all the glory. Amen.